is time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to another Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Out Loud. Now, the big story has to be the Mueller debacle, and for many it was a debacle. Of course, there's two schools of thought here, people. The Democrats appear to be doubling down on impeachment and not letting go of that with the president. And there are those who say, well, this will be the end of the deep state. That may be a stretch a little bit here, but that is a big, huge story of the week. We were hoping it would settle things down, but you'll be the one to decide exactly that. Also, the cartels in America. So we're speaking of drugs and human trafficking, and there's a couple of big stories this week on these cartels. I think it's more of a risk to us in this country than most people think. We'll have a special investigation on that. We'll get to our top stories here on Viewpoint, friends, and welcome on here. Ilana Friedman is here. Ilana is a veteran intelligence analyst. She's a political commentator and host here at America Out Loud. Her newest book, Hamas, The Story of Islamic Jihad on Israel's Front Lines, can be found on Amazon and in the America Out Loud bookstore. Joining us as well, Jim McKay is here. Jim is a political analyst, a commentator, radio producer here at America Out Loud. Jim spent 30 years background in global technology and telecommunications. Now, we'll start, Ilana, Jim, with North Korea and Iran both. Both were firing missiles this past week. Got a lot of people up, paying attention, of course. What's interesting about North Korea that has caught a lot of people a bit surprised here is that after Trump really broke all the barriers here and met him on the DMZ, you could kind of see some of the mannerisms and the body language there, thinking maybe things would settle down a little bit, but it doesn't appear to be that way. Ilana, what's behind, really, Kim Jong-un and North Korea specifically, firing, obviously, lately, these recent encounters, the short-range missiles into the Sea of Japan?
His impulse to send off these rockets is exactly counter to the conversation that he had with Trump when Trump was in Asia. And it's interesting that he always seems to do this. He has a good, what seems to be a good talk with the president, and it seems to be moving forward. And then he does something like this. Now, these were not nuclear warheads. These were missiles. And so I don't think that they count as a serious threat. I think maybe he was just flexing his muscles and said that he hadn't fallen asleep yet.
Right, right. Well, that's the thing. I mean, what are the purpose do they serve? Like you just said, I mean, what's the whole psychological purpose of this?
He has to deal with the military. You know, that's a military state.
That's right.
Right down
that's
to
exactly
it.
Exactly right.
And he has to placate some of the generals to let them do a couple things here and shoot off a couple missiles just to make people happy, so to speak, in country.
So you're thinking he's doing it, Jim, to make people happy at home?
Yeah, I mean, you have a country full of people that are impoverished, that aren't eating well, and you have a military of several million men, and they build these missiles, they run the troops out, they march them up and down the plazas and stuff, and I bet you some of them are saying, well, we better show the world that we still have our missiles and things, and we're not going to just roll over to President Trump.
Yeah, it's not just the military. He also has to answer to China. And believe it or not, he has to answer to Iran. He is connected to Iran. And when we're talking about these missiles, North Korea and Iran, it's not clear that this wasn't coordinated. North Korea has been working with Iran since 2012, and maybe not quite so closely before that. But Kim is dancing to an awful lot of different bands, and he has to satisfy them all. And he's in a tough place. So I think he really wants to do something with Trump, but I also think that he has to answer to these other groups. Don't forget, North Korea, although they haven't had one recently, is subject to a military coup. He's one man against an army. And if they should actually make it happen, he has a problem. He doesn't even want to consider that. So he just wants to show that he is in charge.
Do you think his military likes the fact that he's having these summits and meetings with President Trump, Ilana? Do you think they like that?
I don't think they like it at all. Because what President Trump is aiming for is an open and free North Korea, and that would destroy their power.
Absolutely puts them on the shelf.
You're talking about it puts the military on the shelf.
Absolutely. It puts these guys in second fiddle all of a sudden, because then you're looking at eventually talking about reunification with the South. And at that point, there has to be a very big downscaling of their military.
All right, so all we're really doing, Jim, then, let's speak truth on this. All we're really doing is delaying the inevitable. In other words, we have a history of many, many, many years of playing cat and mouse with North Korea. The same thing plays out constantly. Now, President Trump, it's like a boxing ring right now with Trump and Kim. Who lands the first punch or the next punch and what exactly is going to happen? But there's never going to be a knockout, it seems. So what's the end goal? I assume the end goal at this point is not denuclearization. From everything you both just said, the end goal has just got to be to keep Kim dancing and amused in the public square, I guess, yeah? Jim?
Well, I think a big issue there is what happens between the United States and Iran. I mean, if we put them down and there's a revolution there, Kim's going to come around pretty quickly to an agreement with us. He doesn't want to have us have our total attention on him. And if we do a settlement or whatever happens with Iran, if they dispose the leadership there, Kim's going to want to sort of cover his butt a little bit and not get deposed by some other regime there.
That is an interesting point in how Iran plays out. I guess that could factor into Kim's decisions, huh?
Oh, I think so. We don't know what kind of role Iran is now playing with North Korea. We knew they were very deeply involved in nuclear development until their mountain collapsed. And then Iran started moving stuff out. The mountain was the mountain that was where they tested the nuclear bombs, and they kept testing in the same place, and eventually it collapsed. But the point is that Iran is now looking at the Middle East as a target and may or may not be deeply involved with what Korea is doing, North Korea is doing. And so I think you just have to understand that there is a lot that we don't know.
So in reality, isn't the president really, with everything said, isn't he doing probably the best he can really do with the situation, Ilana?
I think he's doing a phenomenal job, and this president does not pander, but he is a strategist when it comes to negotiating.
Right,
and he has a very, very clear idea of where he wants to go, what he wants to accomplish, and how he wants to get there.
Right.
And the first step to be able to meet in a friendly environment at the table.
Well, he's proven that. He's proven that. Yeah.
He's proven he can do that. That's right.
Right. Right. And for the critics, the alternative is not a good option, obviously. So this appears to be the only path forward is the cat and mouse game. Let's turn to United Kingdom. Very interesting politics across the sea there this past week here. And Theresa May resigned, of course. She is out. And Boris Johnson is the new prime minister in the United Kingdom. Jim, Brexit has got to happen now. What we understand is there was a 100-day window for Boris Johnson to pull this off. Now, Theresa May was unable to make it happen. Does Boris Johnson get the job done in this first 100 days?
I think so. He was very strong in the initial effort for Brexit. So he has the connections in the parliament, probably in both chambers at this time. And there's still a very strong movement within the country to separate from the EU. So favorable conditions. And he said they're going to get out with or without an agreement with the Europeans.
With or without an agreement. Interesting.
Yeah.
Ilana, how does that play out now with the UK, with Boris Johnson as the prime minister now, and with this switch with Theresa? Theresa May seemed very weak. She just didn't have the wherewithal to pull it off, did she?
No, and more than that, she didn't want to pull it off.
That's exactly
she
right.
was, you know, the national vote said, we want Brexit. Mm-hmm. But she was prime minister and she didn't want it. So she dragged her feet and she did all kinds of maneuvers to, and she negotiated several times on different things. But she never made it happen because she really didn't want to make it happen.
Yeah, she didn't believe in it. She didn't believe in it. She was in denial, Ilana.
Yeah, so I thought she was really a very poor prime minister. But now you have Boris Johnson, who is essentially Britain's version of Trump. He speaks, you know, he shoots from the hip. He's a little bit of Vice President Biden as well. You know, Joe Biden as well. And he is very careful with the way he throws his words around. But on the other hand, right. we know two things about him that he says about himself. First of all, he's, as an aside, but it's important in the whole picture, he is very pro-Israel. And he supports with all his heart the Zionist state, as he puts it. And the other thing is that he is very, very much in favor of and a tremendous supporter of Brexit. He wants Britain out at all costs, and he doesn't care if he has an agreement or if he doesn't have an agreement with the EU. He wants Britain out, and I think he has the right idea. I don't think Britain never should have gone in the first place.
Right. Now, if he doesn't get the job done, then that's he's got 100 days. You think he gets it done?
What's been holding them up is making a deal with the EU. But if they go without a deal, it's a done deal. I mean, it's done. He just says no more. We're done.
Jim, what are the political ramifications if he doesn't get the deal, but he pulls out anyways? What's the political ramifications of that?
Well, I think the first thing that happens is, and it's been expressed already, that we get into a very strong bilateral trade agreement and other agreements with the United Kingdom. I mean, we've been joined to the hip with them for 200 years. Mm-hmm. So nothing is going to change the politic that much between the United States and Great Britain. And he gets along with Trump. I mean, so that's going to be, as Ilana was saying, that's almost like a marriage there, right on.
Well, it could be, but the UK has a very strange relationship with Donald Trump, and it's a love him, leave him, hate him sort of relationship with the people out there. Listen, let's bring it back here to the Supreme Court in a very interesting ruling just these past couple of days here. 5-4, it's always one of those rulings which you shake your head at, but it was a major victory for the president as the justices lifted a lower court order blocking the big part of this was the component and the plan to expand that border wall and get it into those states of California, Arizona, and New Mexico. And so we're talking $2.5 billion here for this wall here in the court ruling here. And again, a 5-4 decision. But Ilana, was this a good surprise? Did you expect this to happen?
We didn't know, because we've been having some questions about two of the justices who have sort of sat on the, you know, on the line in the aisle between the left and the right. But I think it was a good decision. I think it's about time. What is intriguing me is that the Democrats don't care. They don't care that this was the Supreme Court. They are totally letting go of any connection with American representative republic philosophy. It's unbelievable that they are completely throwing all of the Constitution, all of the rules and the rule of law over the side of the boat, and they're going to go in their own direction. But I think they're going to lose.
First of all, the contracts have already been awarded. They're ready to start moving fast. That stuff has already been done, all the preliminary work. So I'm going to guess at this point, I assume the president is going to move expeditiously. They're going to start building these things, I'm sure, if they haven't started this morning, it'll be tomorrow morning. You know,
tomorrow
morning. Yes. Right, Jim?
Shovels in the ground Monday morning. This is, as Obama would call it, a shovel-ready project. But this one's going to happen. Not like his.
Yeah.
You know, and then the Ninth Circuit Court was behind this, and the ACLU, which is, you know, the un-American Civil Liberties Union these days. And I expected it to be overturned. I think a lot of these decisions that are coming out of the lower courts are going to be overridden by the Supreme Court, because their lower court decisions have no foundation in constitutional law. They are these political decisions that are being made, whether it's the Ninth Circuit or the Fourth Circuit or some of the other local ones. And the court is very strict when it gets down to separation of powers, of things that are enumerated in the Constitution clearly and have hundreds of years of precedent on them also. So this decision was made basically, the ACLU had no standing in this at all. In other decisions, the plaintiffs had no standing, and they were purely political decisions, had nothing with the actual powers enumerated to the different parts of the government. Okay.
All right, I want to talk to you as well in our last story here about the 2020 elections here and the top stories. And in a very interesting tweet, the President Trump came out and he attacked Fox News for the polls, showing that he's down about 10 percentage points to Joe Biden, who is leading the Democrats at this point here. Many think he's going to begin to fall after once Iowa comes into focus here, and that he will no longer be the front runner. And there are others really nipping at his heels there in that front spot there. But the polls are dramatically messed up. And the president points out, he comes out and says, there's no way I am behind sleepy Joe Biden. He said, give me a break, he said, you know. And so he was very vocal about this. I mean, what is really hard to fathom, Jim, about the polls is the fact that they're obviously being skewed badly by the media news organizations, the liberal academia institutions, and they're just upside down backwards. And they were that way in 2016. We've seen what happened in 2018. They're unpredictable. But yet everybody at this moment of time is setting their watch to them because that's all they really got for propaganda and news solicitation that they put out there. But I don't really believe any of the polls. Do you?
No, not at all. And I think polling is used more today to influence people than it is actually to report the actuality of the events, what's going on. And as you said, 2016, there's a very, very compact video out there on polling, I think on YouTube, showing the different polling dates as it went through the 2016 campaign. And at 6:07 p.m. on the day of the election, the polls were still showing Hillary ahead by 7%. That's how absurd this polling is.
So Ilana, why all this rhetoric about polls? It really is just propaganda, isn't it?
I think it is. I have absolutely zero faith in polls. I don't pay any attention to them. And I wish the president would join me because I think he's just wasting his time. The polls mean nothing. What is an interesting show of support for the president that we don't see in the polls are the people who turn out to his rallies. When you get 10, 20, 30,000 people showing up and you have over 100,000 people asking to show up, you know you've got something going there. And the fact that everybody seems to be ignoring this is just mind-blowing. I don't understand it at all. This is, I think, one of the best show of force in terms of how the country is reacting to the president. And I think we're going to see this when the election time comes in November 2020.
I want to talk to you next about the influence of cartels in America. There's a couple of really unique stories this week about this and a fallout to this that I think that you really want to pay attention to. But we're talking about the drugs and human trafficking that are coming into this country at an unprecedented rate, friends. There'll be more Viewpoint in just a moment.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
As we say, let the silent voices be heard. Shadow banning, editing, censorship, blocking, and adherence to political correctness are seen as serious threats to our God-given right to free speech. Suppressing free speech, the very cornerstone of our society, is not in the best interest of our listeners, readers, and those who provide our content. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. So another interesting story is this former Mexican cop that was illegally in the United States, and he's been indicted for trafficking. Listen to this now. He had enough fentanyl to kill 10 million people. I just could not believe this story and these numbers. And then as you look further, there was another interesting story this week with 16 Marines here that were arrested by NCIS for alleged human smuggling and drug offenses. That story was just really dumbfounded me when I read that story. I thought, wow, this is really... There's a lot going on with these cartels that we're not paying attention to. I want to do a deep dive right now, folks, on this story with Dr. Ron Martinelli. Dr. Martinelli is a retired police detective. He's a forensic criminologist. He's a national voice here. His book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, is on Amazon and on the America Out Loud bookstore. His show is with Dr. Joni Johnston. You can hear that thread of evidence at 9 p.m. Every evening here on America Out Loud. And so cartels, Ron, let's start with this Mexican cop story that was illegally in the U.S. and that was indicted for the trafficking. You know, drugs play such a big part of all of these stories. But what is it about this story that is most egregious with this Mexican cop we're speaking about?
First of all, he was able to come into the country with a vehicle, right? So, and with 33 kilos of fentanyl. And so,
how does that happen, first of all, that he gets in with a vehicle with all that in there? Tell me how that happens.
Well, boy, I'll just throw it right back at you. How does it happen, right? So, one of the reasons that this happens, of course, is our Border Patrol and Protection Agency is so stretched out. It is so thin, and our border, especially around the southern borders, has become so porous because their entire enforcement paradigm has switched now to more of a civil type of responsibility. Now they're caring, you know, for all of these tens of thousands, now hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens that have poured across our border. So when they're doing that, we're in these detention centers and running around and getting water for them and getting this and that for them. They can't be watching our borders. So that's a huge, huge issue. The next thing is the whole funding issue with the border. We can't secure the border. President Trump keeps trying to get the wall built. Thank God the Supreme Court just overruled the lower appellate courts and the district courts and said, yeah, you can spend $2 billion from Pentagon money to build the wall. But my God, we should be spending tens of billions of dollars to build this wall and get it done. And then let's return our Border Patrol officers to their primary function, which is enforcement.
You're so right with the fact of what you say. That you think about it in those terms, Ron. They're spending a lot of time babysitting and playing housekeeping at the border in these centers, which are so overpopulated, it isn't funny. So the crisis has now been created as a political tool, very clearly, and it's impacted a lot of these stories like the one you're speaking about here. Now, this Mexican cop with all these drugs in the car, I'm assuming, do we know that he came through a checkpoint, or is it possible he didn't come through a checkpoint? And then, Ron, if he did come through a checkpoint, is it just a matter of the fact that they're overwhelmed, or let me ask you something else, or could there possibly also be illicit illegal payoffs at the border where these guys come in? Is that a possibility?
I think far more likely than not, he came through in a porous area, because I'm frequently living down in southern Texas. I am frequently around these border check stations. And of course, one of the agencies that I defend, working with the United States Department of Justice, is Border Patrol. So I'm talking with these Border Patrol agents all the time. The technology at the checkpoints is so amazing. The electronic technology and also the drug sniffing dogs are so amazing. It's very difficult to get something through a checkpoint. That's number one. Number two, I don't believe that there are payoffs with anybody on the United States side. Number one, because there's so many Border Patrol agents at these checkpoints, there's a lot of oversight. So I don't think that's the case. I think he came through couple of things in a porous area, but here's a couple of things that are very scary, and let me put it into context for our listeners. Number one, this wasn't the first time that he came through. He admitted that this was his second trip. So if he carried 33 kilos to kill 10 million people on his second trip where he was captured, what happened and how much did he carry across? I'll bet you it was at least 33 kilos the first time. The next thing, putting this into context, Malcolm, we suffered last year 32,000 overdose deaths in the United States, of which the primary overdose death drug is fentanyl. Wow. Compare that to the 15-year war in Vietnam, where we lost 58,000 American soldiers, and we lose 32,000 people in the United States in 1 year. Where the heck is Congress? Where are they?
That puts it in perspective, doesn't it, Ron? You know, with the amount of people we lose here on drugs, and I don't think anybody really is focusing on this. As you're saying, certainly Congress is not as well. They're too busy playing politics to be looking at some of these real problems. What do you think about this other story, Ron? About this one, I was dumbfounded reading this one. The 16 Marines there at Camp Pendleton that were arrested by the NCIS for human smuggling and drug offenses. What do you make of this?
Well, you know, this is an aberration. This is something that very rarely happens, but because it does happen, that's why we're discussing it today. And, you know, Malcolm, with my work with the United States Department of the Navy and the Marine Corps and the Judge Advocate General Corps, I'm pretty familiar with the types of arrests that they make and NCIS makes. And these, I think, are a couple of Marines that decided that they're going to make some extra money. So what they're doing is probably reaching out to people in Mexico and, you know, relatives through secondary and tertiary contacts are arranging to make a few thousand bucks a week or every other week and smuggle illegal aliens across the border. Now, I would suggest to you that obviously if you're sneaking illegal aliens across the border, you're also sneaking dope across the border, which means that the primary people, and these are Camp Pendleton Marines, which I've worked out of the Western District there, we are dealing with the Sinaloa cartel. So, and that's dangerous stuff. So let's see how the investigation proceeds. And if you'd like me to give you a little background on the influence of transnational drug cartels out of Mexico in the United States, I'm more than happy to do that.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because I want to step back. Now, that's a perfect segue, Ron, to talk about this. How big of a problem are these cartels in our country? I mean, I don't think the average American really understands this problem, do they?
No, they really don't. And this is something that is never discussed by our Congress, who just took off for a 32-day vacation. All right. So they failed on the Trump issue with Mueller. All right. Now they're on vacation. And meanwhile, we got the police officer from Mexico bringing in 32 kilos of fentanyl to kill 10 million people. And we've got these Marines sneaking illegal aliens across the border and sneaking dope across the border. And we hear absolutely nothing from this dude, nothing Congress. And I include Rhino Republicans in this as well. All right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So there are, Malcolm, there are five basic Mexican transnational cartels in the United States operating in the United States. And this is the Sinaloa cartel, the Juarez cartel, the Jalisco New Generation, the Gulf cartel, and the Beltran Leyva cartel. Now, the states that predominantly are controlled by the cartels are California, Texas, Southern Florida, New York, and New Jersey. So who controls where, right? In California, it's almost predominantly the Sinaloa cartel. In Texas, you have a combination of the Juarez and the Gulf cartel. In Southern Florida, it's going to be the Sinaloa cartel. And up in New York and New Jersey, almost predominantly Sinaloa.
So all of these, isn't it wild how you just draw out a map of the country, Ron, pointing out, it almost sounds like a political map where each one has their jurisdiction and they all sort of know where their boundaries are, don't they?
These cartels, right? They sure do. And that's right. Where you get all this cartel violence, where they're killing each other. All right. So the cartels are no different than the mafia. They are transnational drug trafficking, sex trafficking, people trafficking organizations, mm-hmm. and they have their territories, they're mapped out, and anytime another cartel will violate into someone else's territories, you right. see a tremendous amount of bloody violence, and yeah. the majority occurring on the borderline in Mexico across the United States.
You know, I see what you mean with the cartels fight with each other. Then, you know, Ron, I seen another story just the other day here, which caught my attention, several of them actually, that, and I'd like you to speak about this a moment, because I was stunned as well, but I don't think anybody realizes, but the United States, it is said that has more human trafficking problem than anyone in the world. I mean, how much of a problem is human trafficking here in the country?
Oh, it's absolutely phenomenal. And of course, again, living in Texas, Texas is one of the major areas that the people trafficking in the sex trafficking cartels operate in. They come right up through what we call Highway 35, right up through San Antonio, Texas. And then the other area is Juarez, Mexico, which is just on the other side of the El Paso, Texas. So those are two of the major areas that we get this tremendous amount of people and sex trafficking.
What's the answer to all this? Because, you know, the two big elephants I'm seeing in this room are the drugs that we've been talking about right now and the deaths that are coming from the drugs, which you pointed out. And the other one is going to be this trafficking, which is, I mean, it's unbelievable what's happening with trafficking. I mean, I report a lot on a lot of these stories around the world. But a lot of people, I remember talking to someone just the other day, Ron, and they were stunned to know that this happens in the Southeast and the Southwest. It happens throughout the country, in fact, but on a regular daily occurrence, people are being trafficked, and it's big, big profits in business. But as you say, Congress does absolutely nothing about it. This is one of the major benefactors of the porous border and the no wall factor, as well as other factors. I mean, that would do a lot to stop that, wouldn't it, if we had a real boundary down there?
Sure. And let's just kind of keep this in mind for the listeners. This is not rocket science.
Exactly.
There are very easy solutions to this. Very easy. Trump has outlined every single one of them. Acting Director Holman, who I love, he's a phenomenal law enforcement professional, has outlined these things. Number one, you've got to stop the loopholes. You have to stop the loopholes that allow illegal aliens to get into this country. Number two, you must fund the border wall. You must build it. It is proven down in California in the areas and in all the areas in the southern border where we have a good solid border wall, we get almost zero incursions. You have to clean out these hundreds of thousands of people that are stuck in our detention centers. You have to create a lot more judges and a lot more boards that deal with asylum, so that let's knock these huge numbers of people down. And when this starts happening, we can start returning our Border Patrol and protection agents to their primary task, which is in enforcement. So what are they enforcing? Again, it's real easy. Trafficking, sex trafficking, child sex trafficking, adult sex trafficking, the trafficking of narcotics, the trafficking of weapons, and you will see less problems in the United States. The other thing is, with Congress allowing all of this to happen, guess who comes across with the illegal aliens? All the cartel members come across. And then they feed the street gang drugs, and that's where you get your street gang violence, because they're primarily fighting over dope. They're not as much territory as it is dope. And so this is just a giant octopus. You have got to cut off the head of the octopus, and it is not difficult to do.
You know, Ron, with everything we're saying right now, it sounds like a slam dunk conversation that we are having that would say, okay, well, we've got to do something about it. How is it that under the guise of compassion and humanity that the left, who doesn't want any security whatsoever, they really want an open society where people can come and go, how is it that that is not, that does not resonate across this country in such a way that the outcry from middle America would just force them to do something. How is it that that is the crux of this conversation, isn't it?
Well, it sure is. And you know, you and I have had many conversations about the United States and what is taking place here. Succinctly, Malcolm, what's happening is every single day we are in a fight for the soul and the values and the rule of law of the United States every single day. And the progressive left gets more radical. They move towards a more socialist, Marxist type of organization. All of this stuff that comes up, the distraction by the Congress and the Rhino Republicans, this tremendous Trump derangement syndrome is taking place, and it just sucks all the air out of the room. And so there is so much emphasis on trying to impeach President Trump, trying to get him out of office, that all these other things fall into second or third or bottom place. This is all political, but here's the key for me and many Americans just like us. When you are doing all of this other stuff that does not move our country forward, you are destroying the United States of America. And you can get to a point where you can never recover. Never.
And I think the question for you all out there is, are we at that point, as you hear Dr. Ron Martinelli put it succinctly out there? It's a question you've got to ask yourself. But I mean, I think as we lay out the evidence here and the facts, people, it's very clear. It's hard to rationalize a lot of these conversations, quite frankly. But again, when you look at the motives of the people in play here, then maybe it becomes a little clearer what the game plan is, people. You know, I want to remind you all, as you hear Dr. Ron Martinelli right now, one of the most amazing things about America Out Loud, friends, is our people, like Dr. Ron Martinelli. And earlier you hear Jim McKay and Ilana Friedman. And coming up next, our folks. I mean, we have, bar none, this is the go-to place for the best conversation. If you really want to know what's going on in the country, you're not going to find that in the news channels and on the network, obviously. You've got to go to alternative news sources. That is the future of information and news that we all need to be taking into our lives and making our lives better. That's our game plan at America Out Loud. And we say that proudly as we're getting ready for the 2020 election and so many things that are happening here at our platform, friends. Make America Out Loud your daily visit and be up to snuff here with everything that's going on and everything that's important to you in your life. You'll find back at America Out Loud. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled, seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue, Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the people, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I
Welcome back to Viewpoint. And we're talking about your favorite topic, the one that never goes away. And that is right, Robert Mueller. Now, listen, what we did find out this past week is that he was there in name only. He wasn't really part of the program, so it looks like they used his name and really tarnished it. What they really did to the man is pretty sick, actually. If you watched any part of those hearings, and potentially you didn't, maybe you were out at the golf course and one of the smart ones, maybe, I don't know. But there are two schools of thought here, people. One is, did the Mueller debacle put an end to the whole deal, and could this be the end of all this deep state talk of that's going on? Or might it be that they're doubling down and they continue onward? Huh? Just pick your poison, whatever that might be, huh? Joining us here on the conversation, Colonel Jim Warshak is here. He retired from United States Air Force. He's a career senior intelligence and special missions officer, served as deputy director for intelligence for U.S. Central Command, and worked on the White House National Security Council. And Ava Armstrong is a political commentator, radio personality, and best-selling author here. Her books are on Amazon and the America Out Loud bookstore. And you know, the bookstore is a place I want to request all of you to visit, because all of our experts, our authors, and many of our top leading guests as well, their books you'll find in that America Out Loud bookstore. So it's a direct path to be able to get in there and get the ones you want and connect your right in with Amazon. So, all right, let's talk about this, potentially doubling down business here. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, she says that the decision on whether the House pursues the impeachment of President Trump will be made in a timely fashion, she says, and denied the idea that she's trying to run out the clock. Because she's been accused of that, clearly. Now, of course, the House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler there, he says that in a different press conference that everything's in effect. They're moving forward with the impeachment, and that's the deal. All right, Colonel Warshak, you hear all of the voices after the Mueller travesty, and they keep saying, it's like, hurry up and wait. Wait till you hear this. You got to get the report, and then wait till we hear Mueller, and that's going to be the fire we need. And yet, they still are talking about impeachment. They're not stopping. So what do you make of this? They're doubling down, are they not?
Oh, absolutely, Malcolm. And if you recall back when Nancy Pelosi regained her speakership earlier this year, one of the things that they talked about on the Democratic Party or their congressional platform was they were going to pursue impeachment, and they were going to investigate. That's all they've got. They know if they curtail impeachment, stop investigating, they've acquiesced and given in to the president, and he wins. And that's the last thing they're going to do. So regardless if they have anything or nothing, they are going to keep the pressure on. That's all they've got to do, and that's all they're going to do. So from here until 2020, the November election, they're going to keep trying to claim there's something there.
Jim, what they're probably, my guess is, they're looking to find that piece of dirt or something. And as you say, prior to the 2020 election, I think that's what they're hoping to do, is to put something out there in the vision to be able to capture the attention of all the cameras and the mics, to be able to tarnish Trump once and for all. That is the only thing they have, isn't it?
Absolutely. And they're going to look for anything possible. And here's the reality. If there was something so big mm-hmm. that dealt with high crimes and misdemeanors, which is the qualificatory word for impeachment, or words for impeachment, they would have found them long ago. And you have to also remember, you can't impeach anyone for something they did prior to taking office. Impeachment deals strictly with a erroneous or bad or criminal act while serving as the president. So, you know, they can go all the way back to, you know, 1988 to try to find something on him, but it cannot be used as grounds for impeachment. So, you know, they're going to take every angle they can. They're going to look, they're going to try to find something. Trust me, if they had something, they would have used it a long time ago.
Yeah. You know, Ava, I keep hearing the words. In fact, Dr. Ron Martinelli just said it. In fact, he said it was a fight for the soul of our country, speaking about the cartels and things like that across the country and the do-nothing Congress who's doing nothing about it, back to political circles. And when you think about it in this way here, and you look at this conversation we're having here, it really does come back to really a fight of ideology. So, for instance, the Democrats in the left never accepted this presidency from moment one. So they go ahead and they pin the tail on, in this case, it was the elephant. and they continue to go after the president. And they accuse him of a crime that never happened, clearly. They flip the cards right out of the book, Saul Alinsky's book, The Rules for Radicals, clearly. What they did is what they point out to the other side of what they accuse them of doing, Ava. And after all of that, and now the president, obviously anybody in their right mind wouldn't be comfortable with this and would have a lot to say about it. The president has been very, very vocal and very upset about the whole thing. Now, whether that's played out well or not, that's to be questioned. You know, I wonder if it would have been different, Ava, had he not said much and let it alone. But it certainly has put the spotlight on things. And really, at the end of the day, where are we exactly? Because they're just after the president for a crime that didn't happen. And yet now they want to get some obstruction or some other loose charge that they can bring him down with. It's a pretty sick, isn't it?
Yeah, you cannot impeach a president for his belief system. This is what you're watching. You're watching right now. This is total absurdity. I mean, you know, to the 20th power here. What the Democrats did, let me give them a little bit of advice if any one of them ever did listen to this show. They did something very stupid. They never set up an off-ramp, because what if President Trump is innocent? What if there is no impeachment of President Trump? What if? And they never set up an off-ramp. They put all their chips on President Trump being impeached. And now they're backpedaling and they're saying, well, you know, Mueller did a great job. They're saying, you know, he was playing dumb. He was doing this and that. And now they're saying that they're going to go after Don McGahn, the president's former counsel.
Yeah.
And they want to interrogate him. So what's happening, there's an unholy trinity, I call it. It's Nadler, Cummings, and Al Green, okay? And these people are not Democrats, they're radicals, okay? That's what we have to understand. This is not normalcy. This is not a Democrat thing. It's radical stuff. And they're actually condemning our president and not giving any presumption of innocence here. And this, to me, is very alarming. That's the most alarming thing about this whole thing.
Well, you say radicals there. We're talking about the whole Alinsky setup here, Ava. And really, that would explain, I mean, I think everybody would understand that the real Democrat Party, it's kind of an imposter right now. They have been totally taken over by this radical movement, as you put it out there real well with the Holy Trinity there. And it kind of explains sort of the position we find ourselves in the country. The question becomes, how does middle America see this? Because as you say, they're spinning everything, including the Mueller thing. They seem to be able to try to spin whatever they can. Are people turned on to the truth here is the question.
Well, I want to respond to that because I think the Democrats, you know, men and women who are working people, they're watching this whole, you know, crap show here that we're watching. And they're stunned as well, because there are many people who are moderate Democrats and they're looking at some of the issues and the treatment of President Trump. They don't want a possible Democrat president to be treated this way in the future. They're thinking down the road, well, my goodness, this is like everything's coming apart at the seams, because we have rule of law. And we have ways to deal with these things. Yet the resistance is not accepting that. The resistance is against the rule of law. That's what people in America have to understand. Walk away from this, because it's crazy. This is not the rule of law that they want. They're trying to tear our country apart.
It seems to be. That seems to be the game plan. All right, Colonel Warshak, listen to this now. Attorney General William Barr, I'm thinking this here for a minute here. Right now, it's been a constant drumbeat of Robert Mueller, impeachment, Trump, and it constant with the media. So at some point, you've got to change that narrative. The point is, the radicals are trying to change the narrative to something else they can find in Trump's treasure chest, is what they're trying to do, as you keep saying, with all of these allegations. But really and truly, shouldn't the right be in AG William Barr and the Justice Department? Shouldn't they also fight fire with fire? And you mentioned this in your recent article on the platform there, which you talk about in a very interesting way. And Mueller's debacle lends itself to the end of the deep state. Well, in order to make that happen, you've got to be able to showcase this radicalism. Isn't it time they fight fire with fire and they begin to turn that narrative? And what I mean by that is maybe it's time for another special counsel. I know that people would say, oh, come on, but you kind of got to fight fire with fire here, don't you?
Absolutely. And I think we're gonna see that. I believe fully after watching this, Trump and Barr and his other close aides knew all along for the last 2+ years that Mueller was going to perform the way he performed. He was a figurehead. He was recognized as an honorable
man.
And they were using his honorable status as the cover for this whole thing. You know, they went and hired the other 19 lawyers who were going to go in there and do a hatchet job on the president. And when that report came out back in March, April, that basically exonerated the president. And then this final, I call it the final exam, the oral exam by the special counsel, Robert Mueller, was so bad that even the Democrats realize we're done. But going back to what I said earlier, they know they can't be done. So this is the opportunity now for Republicans, conservatives, those on the right to come forward and just nail the Democrats on everything they stand on. And the first thing they can start with, they use this one narrative that the president thinks he's above the law. Here's the narrative. The president is probably the most beholden person to serve as president since Washington and Lincoln because he beholdens the law. And that's what they're afraid of because, you know, we've seen case after case, whether it's going after the wall or whatever, he goes to the courts, he lets the Supreme Court make a decision. Mm-hmm. He knows what's going on. He's playing it very well. It's be patient, relax. When he does something, it always will come back in his favor pretty much all the time.
Well, Jim, the oxygen of the room has been all on Mueller and impeachment. So back to what you're saying there. So if we don't see in the next many days, I mean, a lot of the times the right, I mean, they take it on the chin and they look the other way or they, whatever it is, they don't get down into the gutter. And I hate to say it that way, but I almost have to, Jim, because a gutter fight is a gutter fight. And you're not going to, you know, get there if you don't get into the gutter and start to, you know, go there. What I'm saying is, I mean, I think the days are numbered now. And quite frankly, you know, when you want to tip Washington upside down on its head, the best way to do that is for this Justice Department to put 2 or 3 investigations. You want to get the narrative to change and get the conversations to change and all these networks, what are they going to have to talk about at Warshak? Well, here's the thing. Put these investigations into play this week. Get them out into the media, into the narrative, all of them, and expose them for what they are and let the oxygen be on that. What do you think about that?
Oh, I agree with you 100%, Malcolm. That's exactly right. You know, there's lots of investigations that need to go on. When you start looking into all the players behind the scenes who have been involved in this, from mm-hmm. Hillary, Obama, Biden, Weissman, Lynch, Comey, Brennan, Clapper, Nadler and Schiff themselves and all the rest, there's a lot to be investigated. I'm positive this is going to be the next step. This is what Barr is going to do. This is the real reason Barr was brought in, because he's got nothing to lose. He's been a career lawyer, and you know, this will be his swan song and his legacy. And you know, he's got nothing to lose. I mean, I can't see him not doing it. And he has sent all the signals. And again, I go back to the president. I really believe he knew all along, and he's letting it play out. He's letting the Democrats, keyword, expose themselves. And boy, have they have exposed themselves. Now it's time, and we saw a little bit of this on Wednesday with people like Jim Jordan and Matt Gaetz. They, just as you said, they are the conservatives who, you know, didn't hold back. They went after Mueller and you know, they were leading the charge. This is what's to come. So between what Barr does and what the conservatives in Congress do, I think, you know, it's a textbook's lessons learned to the other more moderate Republicans. Your days are over. We're playing hardball, and it's going to be hardball till the end. And I think that's what we're going to see.
Well, that really is, Ava. The big question to me is back to hardball a moment here. I would like to see President Trump have a inside the meeting in the Oval Office this week and bring those heads in there and talk to them. And it's time to play hardball. And it's time to put out all of these I would go after these other people in such a way, because really, Ava, at the end of the day, we really are talking about, well, truthfully, I mean, it is oxygen. The oxygen is what feeds the narrative, and it what feeds the American public, whatever it is you want to feed them. And let's call it what it is. They've been, you know, that high on oxygen now for a while in regards to impeachment and Mueller. The only way to change that narrative is not to keep playing defense, but it's to get on offense. And I think that's the problem, Ava. I don't think the right has the capacity. I'll call them out. I don't think they have the gumption. I don't think they got the size you know what to be able to get in there and call them out. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, let me tell you, I think it's even more important than what you're saying. I think this is a pivotal moment in this country's history.
Right.
I think it's the type of moment that Teddy Roosevelt had before him when he had to he had to set up the trust busters. There's been much corruption in our country's history, and great men have stepped forward and have taken the reins and done what's necessary.
Right.
And right now, this is what President Trump has before him. He will be kind of like a trust buster, kind of like Teddy Roosevelt, coming in and saving the country. And this is what he was here. He was put here by God, in my opinion, to do just this, to save our country.
Yeah, it's a head shaker. Thank you again here to Colonel Jim Warshak, Ava Armstrong, again, Dr. Ron Martinelli on the influence of cartels in America. Great segment in our top news with Ilana Friedman, Jim McKay. And friends, again, all of our commentators and the elite people, the professionalism of all of our folks back at America Out Loud are not to be missed. It is the voice of reason, the voice of America, and the voice of America Out Loud is... It's important. It's something to be cherished, and it's an alternative news source, and we all need to grab onto something and grab onto America Out Loud. Friends, make it your daily stop and come to the platform. Hear a lot going on there. We thank you, as always, for joining us here on Viewpoint. It's time to get involved and get loud.